China's making news all over the place today. This also happened. The winner of the Confucius Peace Prize was announced. Now, we could try an analogy that the Confucius Peace Prize is China's version of the Nobel Peace Prize, but Vladimir Putin has been a past winner, and the 2015 winner of the Confucius Peace Prize is Robert Mugabe, the president of Zimbabwe, former guerrilla fighter accused of rigging elections and having his opponents killed since the 1980s. Yeah, that Robert Mugabe. Isaac Stonefish is Asia editor for Foreign Policy magazine and a former correspondent in Beijing. So how did Mugabe win this, Isaac? What's he done to deserve this honor?
Well, it's a tough competition that he has climbed the top of. I think what the organizers of the prize appreciated for Mugabe is that unlike failed states like Libya, Syria, or North Korea, even though they didn't say that, Mugabe has managed to keep his country together.
Did he have competition? Was there a shortlist?
There was a shortlist, and some of the names were actually quite reasonable of people that they have spoken about. Ban Ki-moon, the South Korean president, President Park, and Bill Gates have also been names that were bandied around for this one.
So did the judges really say that, you know, he just kept his country together? That was the bar? That's pretty low.
It's a low bar, but at least he has a country to talk of. And I think they also gave him credit for being an independence fighter. I will just take a slightly controversial take on this one and say that the organizers of this prize are doing something brave by speaking outside of what the government has sanctioned. Now, it may seem strange to argue that awarding Mugabe a peace prize is brave, but what they're doing is that they're trying to start an organization that advances their own views as opposed to the views of Beijing. I think, you know, Beijing's mandarins and officials in the party would find it embarrassing to actually award Mugabe a prize, but these people believe it and they're exercising their right of free speech to do it. And it's probably not something that they're going to be allowed to do for very much longer, considering how much embarrassing press that it's gotten. But I do have to give them respect for that.
Yeah. So tell me a bit more about the organization behind the Confucius Peace Prize. How did it come into being? When did the prize start?
So it started in 2010 when the Nobel Committee awarded Liu Xiaobo, an imprisoned Chinese dissident, the Nobel Peace Prize. And this was very embarrassing, both for many officials in Beijing, but also for many Chinese patriotic leftists who felt that the West was ignoring all of the wonderful things that China had done. They were focusing on this one dissident. So what they tried to do is say, well, you guys are focusing on this bad thing, but in fact, there have been people who have contributed to peace in a more real way. And in the first year, they picked a Taiwanese official who had been helping to promote ties between Taiwan and the mainland. And they tried to argue that, hey, this guy, maybe not in ways you're thinking, but is far more deserving than Liu Xiaobo.
So, Isaac, you're saying that the Confucius Peace Prize is basically the voice of dissidents.
So I think it's not the voice of dissonance as we see them. You know, these are not people who go against the state. These are people who go further in promoting the state than the state itself is comfortable with.
Mm. So even in communist China, Confucius is a big deal 2,500 years after his death.
He still is. And one of the best known of this group of rightists is this guy named Kong Qingdong, who likes to brag how he is, I think, 76th generation descendant of Confucius. You kind of imagine he has it on his name card.
Considering that previous winners of the prize are Vladimir Putin and Fidel Castro, is there something I don't understand about Confucianism?
That's a very good question. I will say Kofi Annan was a winner as well. I think Confucianism, like any great school of thinking or ideology, is expansive enough that people can read into it what they would like. So Confucius has for a long time been a way to score political points in China. I think, you know, I don't want to say the phrase rolling over in his grave, but let's just say if Confucius is up there, I think he's used to being used to score political points.
Right. Isaac Stonefish, Asia editor at Foreign Policy, speaking with me from Washington. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.